This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey all, welcome back to the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. I'm your host, Pharmacist Eric Christensen. Thank you so much for listening today. As always, go check out reallifepharmacology.com. If you haven't already, snag your free 31-page PDF on the top 200 drugs. Great little study guide if you're looking to brush up on your skills, remember a few things, or if you're preparing for board exams, pharmacology finals, things like that. Just great refreshers of things that commonly come up in practice and things that you may see come up on exams as well. So the drug of the day today is aripiprazole. Brand name of this medication is Abilify. This medication is classified as an antipsychotic. Now, any drug typically that's classified as an antipsychotic is going to have activity on dopamine receptors. Now, Abilify or aripiprazole is a slightly different in that it isn't quite as strong of a dopamine blocking agent at that D2 receptor as some of the other classically known antipsychotics, such as, you know, haloperidol or risperidone. It's more of a partial agonist, so that mild stimulation, but it also blocks the dopamine 2 receptor from being basically fully agonized or fully stimulated. And so if you remember from pathophysiology and things like that, excessive dopamine is typically thought to be a significant component of causing symptoms of schizophrenia, hallucinations, delusions, things of that nature. So by, you know, blocking, reducing the activity of dopamine, it makes sense that it could potentially help those type of diagnoses. In addition to that partial agonist at the D2 receptor, it's got some action on serotonin reuptake potentially, milder antihistamine type effect, also milder alpha blocking effect compared to some other antipsychotics, and we'll kind of touch on that a little bit in the adverse effect profile, where it maybe differs from some of the other antipsychotics. So uses. In clinical practice, I've certainly seen it for things like schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, where we've got, you know, those hallucinations, delusions, a lot of those positive symptoms associated with schizophrenia, for example. In addition, you may see other off-label uses, and it can be used in augmentation of depression. And this is definitely something I have seen in clinical practice for sure. Dosage form, so it certainly comes as an oral agent, taking it by mouth there. But there was one particular I wanted to mention. There is an extended release formulation, which, you know, sometimes in our schizophrenia, bipolar population, patient adherence to oral medications can be challenging. So we do have that option of having a longer acting agent where we only have to do potentially a every month in long acting injection. Now, I do want to remind folks, if you're using a long-acting injectable agent, typically for the majority of them, we're going to want to prove tolerability first. And so we're going to want to give, and in the case of Abilify, we're going to want to give some of that oral medication first to prove that the patient is actually going to tolerate it, because, you know, I think it's pretty obvious that you wouldn't want to give a long-acting injectable medication that has a half-life of, you know, 30 to upwards of 45, 50 days in somebody that we don't necessarily know that they're going to tolerate it or not. Okay, so that could be a pretty significant situation where that patient is getting an intolerable drug and there's nothing we can do about it, and they're getting it for a very, very long period of time. So definitely not a good situation. And in the case of aripiprazole, definitely a good example of a drug where we, you know, want to try to prove that they're going to tolerate those oral doses before we go to some of those longer acting agents or dosage forms. The boxed warnings, I think I've covered previously with other antipsychotics and things. Increased risk of death in patients with dementia-related psychosis and things like that. Suicidality risk is in the package insert, so it does have antidepressant activity. So I've talked about that a little bit in some of the SSRIs and other podcasts too, so I won't go into further detail there. All right, adverse effect profile. This is pretty important and definitely things that have, in my experience, come up on pharmacology exams, board exams, things like that, especially if you're getting down into the details of comparing one antipsychotic versus another antipsychotic. So in general, antipsychotics, they can cause, you know, extrapyramidal symptoms. That's a movement disorder, adverse effects, weight gain, QTC prolongation, elevations in prolactin levels, hypotension, can have some anticholinergic effects, sedation as well, akathisia is potentially an adverse effect too. With the majority, I would say, of those adverse effects, aripiprazole tends to be pretty low on the scale of how significant those adverse effects. So EPS generally isn't terrible, but can still happen. Weight gain, metabolic syndrome things, aripiprazole is nowhere near the risk of a medication like clozapine or olanzapine, for example. Elevations in prolactin, again, aripiprazole, pretty good on the lower end of things as far as that goes, compared to a drug like risperidone, which is very, very high. Doesn't have a ton of effects on alpha blocking. It's got mild activity there. But again, in comparison to some of the other agents, let's say like a quetiapine, for example, it doesn't cause orthostasis quite as much as some of the other antipsychotics. And sedation, aripiprazole tends to be pretty good with that too, compared to other agents, so relatively lower risk. Again, these things can happen, but aripiprazole tends to be lower risk for a lot of those. Now, the one adverse effect that definitely is probably more common with aripiprazole is akathisia. And, you know, it's kind of a little bit challenging to explain because it is kind of a subjective symptom. I've had patients kind of describe it as restlessness, or they, you know, can't sit still. And it may be visibly noticeable. Like you may see, they're fidgety or jittery, or, you know, they just can't sit still, fidgety, that type of thing. But some patients can just feel that on the inside, and they just report that they just feel like they're, you know, crawling out of their skin, but visually looking at them, you might not be able to see that. So definitely something really, really important to ask about. And most patients, I think, will tell you about it if they're feeling like they just can't sit still and are extremely restless on the inside. So that's definitely one adverse effect that does come up with aripiprazole, probably more so than some of the others there. All right, let's talk briefly here about kinetics, because this is going to kind of play into drug interactions. So metabolic pathways, 2D6, CYP2D6, and CYP3A4. And of course, we'll talk about those as far as drug interactions go. But if, you know, you are in a setting where there is genetic testing and things like that available, if you've got a poor metabolizer, they're going to potentially be more exposed to drug and have aripiprazole at higher concentrations. And as we know, as we get to higher concentrations, generally that risk for adverse effects and problems goes up there. So just something to think about. particularly if genetic testing is available and done wherever you work. Patients may be a little bit more at risk if they're poor metabolizers at those enzymes. All right, let's take a quick break from our sponsor and we'll wrap up with drug interactions. If you're in the market for pharmacist board certification study material, definitely go check out meded101.com/store, S-T-O-R-E. In addition to study materials, we've got books which make great gifts for, you know, pharmacy students, med students, nursing students. I try to teach a lot of real world things within those books. In addition, if you've got dietitian friends, a couple of recently released books, one involving drug food interactions, so that's more of a reference based guide based upon the drug. It allows you to kind of look up each drug individually and identify if there's any drug diet considerations or concerns. So again, all those links, meded101.com/store, great resources and a growing list of resources for all different types of healthcare folks there. All right, so let's finish up on those drug interactions. So I mentioned 2D6 and 3A4. So 2D6 inhibitors, classic examples, paroxetine, bupropion. And if you think about that, particularly with an SSRI, you may see aripiprazole added as augmentation for depression. So there's definitely potential that it could be used together with a drug like paroxetine, for example. And in that case, paroxetine being a CYP2D6 inhibitor, that's going to increase concentrations of that aripiprazole, and obviously with that, adverse effects. CYP3A4 inhibitors, CYP3A4 inducers. So the inhibitors likely to raise concentrations. Diltiazem, grapefruit juice, fluconazole, those are some classic examples of inhibitors. Inducers, you know, a drug like carbamazepine, for example, there. Those drugs can alter those concentrations of Abilify, depending upon whether it's an inhibitor or an inducer. A few other kind of generalized drug interactions. So CNS depressant effects, so, you know, alcohol, opioids, benzos, could potentially have added effects with aripiprazole. But again, aripiprazole is generally not near as sedating as some of the other antipsychotics. So, you know, comparing it to something like quetiapine, aripiprazole tends to be much more on the neutral to activating side compared to sedating. But it is important to remember and think about for sure. Dopamine agonists, so drugs used for RLS, for Parkinson's disease, remember that yin-yang of, you know, dopamine blocking activity and, you know, giving a dopamine agonist. Those two are kind of going to oppose each other and potentially, you know, reduce the effectiveness of how each of those drugs is working. So again, kind of that opposition type effect. And then, you know, I did throw in there as well, diabetes medications. There is potential, there is, you know, slight risk for metabolic syndrome, you know, increase in blood sugars, things like that with antipsychotics as a whole. Again, aripiprazole tends to be lower on that scale than, you know, some of the others like clozapine or olanzapine. But certainly there is that risk that it could oppose the benefit of what we're trying to do potentially with diabetes medications. Well, I hope you enjoyed the podcast today. Leave a rating, review on iTunes or wherever you're listening. That's greatly appreciated. Share us with friends, colleagues, classmates, students, whoever you're working with. Help them learn medications better and enjoy the great free refresher sponsored by MedEd101.com. Again, go check out RealLifePharmacology.com. Subscribe to our list there and get that free 31-page PDF. We'll send you updates when we've got new content available, new podcasts available is primarily what we do with our email list there. All right, well, I am going to sign off. You can track me down at LinkedIn, Eric Christensen, PharmD, BCPS, BCGP. Also, mededucation101@gmail.com. And if you have questions, comments, concerns, definitely don't hesitate to reach out there. So, again, thank you so much for listening, and take care. Have a great rest of your day.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.